Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast, sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us on this Tuesday here at the Chateau. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. Auto, home, life, business insurance. They served the Valley for more than 50 years. And they have a very simple model. Service and price mean everything to them. Why? Because they know it means everything to you. That's Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Ben Jones from StateCollege.com is going to be joining us on the show here in the next half hour. Kevin Herr alongside, as always, my partner in crime, my compadre, and the man who completed the double, the Pennsylvania Association of Broadcasters Award for outstanding play-by-play work and the Associated Press Statewide Award for said work. Congratulations on a well-deserved double.
And I would like to thank everybody on Facebook for the kind words over the last few days. Appreciate that very much. It means a lot.
Well, it's very important. You know, I was listening to somebody the other day, and he was really flip about it. He was, and, you know, this is a guy that's on AM radio stations all the time. He says AM radio 10 years. I mean, really? Now, AM radio is going to be still a big part of the landscape 10 years, 20 years from now. And here's the reason why. I mean, it was, first of all, AM radio was supposed to die with the advent of FM radio. But then AM radio found talk. And then, after doing so much automation, AM radio then brought it back to local sports, news, and talk, which is very important. This station is very important for people around the area to stay in touch all the time, whether it's On the Mark in the morning, local issues, some more intriguing than others, just like anything we do here, some more intriguing than others. Local sports talk. I mean, where else are you going to be able to talk about Penn State whatever or Big Ten whatever than on this show right here? I mean, they're only going to talk about it on Dan Patrick or something overnight if it is something that's major. You're going to hear much more talk about Spurs and Heat, maybe the Kings and Rangers, but more Spurs and Heat. Here, we'll bring it home local. Now what Kevin does, Shikellamy football and basketball. Well, you're not going to be able to hear Shikellamy football and basketball anywhere except here. And on our other stations, Milton football, Lewisburg football, Selins Grove football, Danville. Where else are you going to find it? You're going to find it on Sirius XM? No, you're not. And so what Kevin does, for example, at a really high level, painting pictures, telling stories, adding excitement to the game, to a Friday night, adding excitement to a winner's evening. The demand for that is higher than ever. Because the more you can bring it back to your hometown these days, the better it is. We have so much national, centralized everything, it seems, these days. All right. Now, we'll sit here and we'll talk about the NFL from our perspective, or about the NBA, the NHL, or college football in general, or issues dealing with it. But then the bottom line comes down to this. you know, we'll take a Thursday and we'll talk about the high school football games coming up around the area. We'll take time. Okay, where else, for example, let's take yesterday. Dick from Milton called us yesterday. And we were talking about Ed Ruth and Jake Varner making the world team from the United States and David Taylor just missing. And then he added in, Dick did, Nico Megalutis and... I'm trying to remember the other one he mentioned yesterday. I want to say Molinaro, right? How, you know, how well they did. One finished third, you know, how well they did. Now, are you going to find that on a national show? Okay, are they ever going to discuss wrestling on a national show?
not even if it's professional.
Ever. Okay, they're never going to talk about it. Okay? Zane Rutherford had a great season, freshman season at Penn State. No one talked about it more than we did on this station. Was it talked about anywhere else? No. That's why, for example, why you look at our situation and what Kevin does is exponentially important to an area. Oh, it's good to tune in and get the national perspective. That's why Dan Patrick's such a valuable show that we have on after On the Mark and so forth. But you can't put a price on local programming. You just cannot put a price on it.
You know, what always amazes me is how many people come up either after the game or when I'm out somewhere else. I said, you know, loved listening to it on the app and then on my smartphone and then getting the scores on my smartphone as well when you guys are reading them as well. And then, you know, every once in a while we'll get an email from, actually we got a lot of emails over the years from the Middle East with former students and former players that were stationed there that will make it a point to tune in online and listen to the games. That's really cool.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what this does. That's what, and you've seen the smart stations, the smart ones, are the ones, have you noticed, have been trending back to local.
Very much so, yeah.
Maybe not the old days like it was 24/7. I mean, it used to be that you would have your morning guy was 6 to 10, your midday was 10 to 2, then it was 2 to 6, then into the evening. You'd still be live, you know? You'd still be live from 6 to 10, 10 to 2, and then 2 to 6 in the morning, a.k.a. the graveyard shift. Well, the value of that was that you were giving all these people overnight tremendous experience. You could make mistakes between 2 and 6 in the morning. But eventually, over time, you get better and better and better, and then you get better talent on the air, and then suddenly somebody moves up on whatever, and all of a sudden, that person becomes your 6 to 10 guy in the evening. Well, today, the smart stations have been the ones that have trended local instead of, hey, I have a signal, and we're going to go 24/7 sports, and it's going to be all national stuff. That's good. Good for you. Do you have anybody in the group that can think and actually go on the air themselves? Where you can sit there and you can talk about, okay, James Franklin's the football coach at Penn State. Let's get James Franklin on the show. How many times have we had him on the show already?
Oh, more than any other show, I can guarantee you that.
3-4 times?
Easily.
Already? Maybe more? How many times have we had Bill O'Brien on?
How many times do you have a college football coach call you to get on the program?
Yes, often. Okay? But I'm just saying, but that brings it back to, you know, one of the challenges of what we do is to try and make this as interesting every day as possible. Now, do we get some of the same guests sometimes? Sure, but there are different topics that come up. But, for example, we've had Sean Morris on the show one other time. Okay, but for the second time, we had him on the show Friday from BTN. Well-spoken, intelligent, great guy. Okay, and we talked about a variety of issues. We have Mark Brennan. It's been a while since we have had Mark on the show. So we have Mark back on the show on Friday as well. You know, Pat Chambers before that. But again, bringing it all back. We've had Cale Sanderson on the show. I think last year we had David Taylor on the show, didn't we?
Yes.
Yeah, we had David Taylor on the show. Yes, last year.
Last summer, actually.
Okay. Last summer we had David Taylor on the show. But I'm saying, but this is the constant challenge is, okay, let's get Merrill Reese. Let's get Mike Lang. Let's get, let's get Tim Brando on the show. I mean, but everything is always a constant, all right, let's see who we can get. When we had Kurt Smith on talking about Harry Callis. Different. Hadn't had Kurt on the show before. It was a different show. But that's the challenge every day that we have. Okay? The challenge we have every day is we're trying to make the show as interesting as possible. Now, sometimes when Kevin starts talking about insurance fraud with his porch, it gets a little too interesting. Yeah. But yesterday, Bob Buhner's with us as a co-host on the show. Very fortunate to have Bob. Love Bob. Think the world of Bob. But since he was on the show, it took the show in an entirely different direction. We talked about the O'Bannon case. What are the pluses and minuses in the O'Bannon case coming up? It is a case that could change the NCAA forever. Okay? We talked about that. We then talked about the state case briefly, dealing with the legal briefs every time we've needed to talk about the Curly Schultz Spanier situation. We've done that. Bob talked about that. Then we talked about the Redskins name change, right? That, you know, that Daniel Snyder in reality does have the total control over it, and the National Football League can't do anything about it. But Bob was able to sort out the legality. So yesterday's show took on the legal ramifications of some important things. Now, remember, the media at the moment, especially after the Donald Sterling situation, feels it has power. Thus, you notice they're trying to wield the power against the Redskins. Have you noticed that? How it went quickly from the Sterling story to the Redskins story? Have you noticed that?
Yeah, and every time the story goes away, it automatically seems to come back. It's like a two-month cycle.
Right. There's a reset that happens with it. So the Sterling story you want to talk about how it turned out so great for everybody except Donald Sterling. I mean, it couldn't have turned out any better. All right, well, let's look at it. Adam Silver. He looks like a powerful, decisive commissioner. When? The NBA owners. Okay, today's June 3rd. Did they vote? No, didn't have to. Ballmer bought the team for $2 billion. Okay, so the NBA owners don't have to put their backsides on the line and vote and feel like they're forced to vote one way or the other. They get out of it, they win. They get Sterling out, they win. The players, they have some newfound power in all this because they were going to strike if there was nothing done about it. Right? LeBron James was as vocal gets about it. Not a Tiger Woods approach to life. He went out and he verbally went after the league and after Donald Sterling they had to sell. Players win. The current Clippers players all win. They don't have to leave the Los Angeles Clippers. And Ballmer wins. He's got $20 billion. He just gave up $2 billion to buy a team. Now he's got what he always wanted, a toy. Everybody wins. Now that people are done with that, boy, it's amazing how it's come right back to the Redskins thing again. I mean, does Shikellamy have to change its name?
I don't think I've ever heard a complaint with Shikellamy, Shamokin. It's the heritage of the area, and that's the way everybody looks at it. At least, that's the way I see it anyway.
I mean, a seal bit me once. Should Sealers Grove have to? No, just kidding.
That's a mean seal. I mean, they're tough, don't get me wrong, but...
Well, I'll tell you, SEAL Team 6, baby.
Good point.
Kratzer Insurance, our sponsor today. Ben Jones next half hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant, Mills End, Northumberland. Auto, home, life, business insurance. Service and price mean everything to them because they know it means everything to you. In fact, it means more than ever, and they know it. That's Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant, Mills, and Northumberland. The Chateau is conveniently located in the Chateau.
Thus the name.
Sunbury Motors Studio. 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Oh, just got some good news. Chase Utley still leads the National League second baseman in all-star voting. You have to pick yourself up off the floor now, don't you?
I am taken aback by the news.
The amount that I don't care.
Okay, now at 4:05, what we're going to get into is the Mike Schmidt comment about Jimmy Rollins, that he is Hall of Fame consideration. We'll get your reaction to that. Well, I don't usually need your reaction to anything. It's usually negative, but that's okay. We'll still gauge it at 4:06. Right. We bring in Ben Jones, but I don't know if you read it. I'll give you a chance to read it.
No, I did. I was hoping you'd mention it.
Yes. Ben Jones, statecollege.com, and the Jones family. I'm on radio, and he should be on TV.
I appreciate those kind words, Steve, but I think we all know today, actually, with my face peeling from some nice sunburn, that I think it's best that we are both on the radio today.
That's exactly right. Coaches versus cancer. You passed by and were working the entire time, and I tried to flag you at one point and couldn't. But tell me what your take was from the various stories you got out of the event.
Well, I think it's a really neat event from two perspectives. From a community perspective, it's a chance for a lot of people who maybe have some, know someone who has had cancer or know someone themselves, perhaps, who has had cancer, and to be able to share those stories and how that has all unfolded for them can be one of those things that's really therapeutic in a way, to really get to sit down and talk to people and really have a good afternoon, but at the same time sort of remember what you're really there for. And from a basketball perspective, from a Penn State athletics perspective, I think you see, the sort of culture of really embracing the history of the program and getting everyone back together. I talked to John Crispin briefly. I saw Joe Crispin was there. You don't see those two guys in the same place very often, let alone in State College. So to see them back together and back here in town and a lot of the other guys that's been around, it's turning into something more than it has been. It's always been a great event, but I think you see it sort of, turning into something that can be bigger and bigger, and obviously it's for a great cause as well.
Let me talk about John Crispin for a moment, because, I mean, everyone talks about Joe, but John, of course, was here 2 years, was part of the NCAA tournament team. Then he transferred to UCLA, where he played for Steve Lavin. He's come back here on Big Ten Network a couple of times when he was doing the games for them. Did you get a chance to talk with him at all and why he still feels such an affiliation with Penn State, even though he left here?
Well, I think it's just the memories. I mean, I was at a tent with him while he was eating food and talking to people that were excited that he was around. And, he remembers very fondly the tournament run that they made. And you can tell that it's not something that he's sort of, even though he transferred to UCLA, it wasn't as though his time at Penn State was something that he forgot or something that he wasn't proud of. So there's definitely a feeling that he's connected to this area. Obviously, since Joe is in town on a more permanent basis now, it certainly connects John to this area a little differently, in a sense. But certainly he's excited to be around, and he was excited to talk about the time that he had at Penn State. And I think it's one of those things that you know, maybe you don't remember how much you really enjoyed it until you come back, and then you're like, man, this was awesome stuff. And, you know, definitely everyone that I saw interact with him, there was no, I can't believe you left. It was just like, man, I can't, you know, I was thinking about this game the other day, or I was thinking about you and Joe, you know, going off against Kentucky, just all of these, you know, good memories. And I think that's the kind of thing that really, you know, he almost looked relieved in a sense that he was back and everyone had welcomed him with open arms, the way that they did. But, yeah, you know, everyone that's there, you know, that sort of stuff is water under the bridge, most definitely.
Yeah, because I know for me, I mean, the first time John came back, it was to do a TV game. You know, and I probably spent an hour just sitting there talking with him. You know, and again, the same thing. He seemed relieved that, you know, it was like, you know I left. I'm like, so what? I don't care. You were still here. You know, at one point, I think that's helped make it special. Another guy that he's at everything. And I know of all people, I kid around with him more than I bring anybody else. But, you know, Brian Allen's ability to bring back a lot of his buds has really been an important part of this tournament, hasn't it?
Yeah, we were actually joking before the golf had started that, you know, people talk about 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. It's probably been watered down to like 2 degrees of Brian Allen, because it seems like the BA knows everybody, and he had a really good ability to, you know, bring people back to town to get people all in the same place. And certainly no one will ever accuse him of not being outgoing or not being friendly or not being the life of the party. And I think to have someone, you know, sometimes every group of friends needs that guy that says, you know, we're all going to get together on Saturday and you're going to be there. And they go, okay. And I think Brian has done a good job being that guy that sort of, you know, maybe organized getting everyone in the same place. And obviously his personality is such that, you know, it's hard to say no to him. And sometimes that's all you need to have someone that can be a former player to kind of rally the troops from time to time to really foster that culture of, you know, history being present with the modern day program.
DJ Newbill's going to go to the Durant camp, and then he might get to the LeBron James camp. How important are these steps for him, in your opinion?
Well, I think it's really important for him because he's going to have to carry the load this year in a way that he maybe hasn't ever done before. Certainly he had to do it when Tim got injured, but the expectations of that season were a lot different than just, you know, it was almost a survival mode. We were going to see, you know, what these guys were going to be able to do having, you know, lost him. But now, you know, he's going to be the marquee guy on this team, and you might argue that he's been the marquee guy on this team. So to go out to these skill camps to, you know, really hone your skills against high-level players that like yourself is always going to be a positive for a guy who's still, you know, learning a lot about the game. And obviously, you know, any time that you get to spend time with people that Kevin Durant or LeBron James have picked out to work with you at a camp, you know, you're going to want to soak up all the information that you can. And I think, you know, Pat has said this from a program perspective, the fact that DJ gets an invite, the fact that Tim got, you know, invites to Deron Williams camp, and just be able to get these guys out there, get Penn State's name out there in these basketball communities against high-level athletes, against guys who are going to play at the next level, is only going to help your program both as an individual player and as a, you know, as a brand, so to speak.
Pat's talked about the end of March, beginning of April, and all of a sudden you look and the transfer list looks like the waiver wire. What do you think? What is the state of college basketball today, in your opinion, in that regard?
Well, it's definitely something, you know, that it seems to be increasing year to year, the number of guys that'll transfer. And I think, you know, obviously there's going to be a lot of different reasons that it happens. You have, you know, the likes of Maryland where things change and guys want to go different directions, or even Kareem Canty, who's the coach, is no longer there and he wants to take his career in a different direction. But I think in a lot of ways, you see guys, you know, they just don't, it feels almost like they don't want to wait to pay, you know, they don't want to pay their dues and end up in the starting spot at a place where they would have played if they had just waited around a little bit. And I think, you know, it certainly comes closer to home here, but I think in some respects that was John Johnson in a little bit. I mean, he was, you know, wanted to have been able to play more his freshman year at Pitt, but you have to think, in all likelihood, if he had stuck around, you know, you don't know that he wouldn't have played last year, he wouldn't have played this upcoming year. So, you know, you see guys that just want to be in a better situation. And, you know, does that have to do with coaches leaving and coming and going all the time? I don't know. But at the same time, you feel like maybe if these guys, you don't want to say they're uncommitted, but maybe if they can just, you know, stick out some of maybe the trying years or whatnot, you can, you know, end up paying your dues and end up being that guy on the front of the magazine rather than trying to find a place that'll put you on the front of the magazine from day one. So, you know, I don't know if there's a good answer. I've always felt it's been a commitment issue, but certainly it goes a lot farther than that.
Yeah, because you look at Maryland as an example. They have five guys transfer out. I mean, five. I mean, that's a big number because it's not Mark Turgeon's first trip through. I mean, he's in his third or fourth year down at Maryland right now.
Yeah, and I mean, certainly, I mean, circumstances like that are a little troublesome. You know, I think especially when, you know, you have athletic departments preaching the importance of, you know, the academic side of things, it's not going to be easy for anyone's academic to, you know, get five guys to leave the school, you know, try and find a situation that's important that fulfills their basketball and academic side somewhere else. So to have five guys leave all at once like that is kind of disconcerting from both sides, the academic and athletics. And,
right,
you know, what do you do to fix that is something, you know, I would probably be on TV even with my peeling sunburn if I had an answer to that one.
Right, exactly. When you look at the state of the game today, the rules committee is going to sit down and talk about various things. Is there a rule that you would like to see them put in or a rule change that could make the game better, or should it stay the same?
Well, I do think they should commit to staying with the hand-checking foul that they've sort of implemented this past year. I think that it got a little more clear-cut as the year went along. Obviously, you have teams that, you know, struggled a little bit to sort of figure out where that line was, and even to a certain extent you saw Penn State, you know, try and reestablish what their physicality was going to be on the defensive side of the ball. But I think it did a lot of good things. I think if it can open up the offensive game without leading to more fouls and free throws, which I think was the one sort of downside to that when everyone's figuring out how this rule is going to work, that when you're trying to speed up the game and get it more high scoring, no one wants to watch Nebraska shoot, you know, 50 free throws.
Right.
Instead of, you know, shooting those baskets in the run of play. So I think, you know, overall it's a good, a well-intended rule, but you just have to stick to it. And obviously, you know, the block charge situation has always been, you know, a talking point through the history of basketball. So,
right,
you know, anything they can do to make that clear is always a positive on my end.
What about Shep Garner and Isaiah Washington? Tell us a little bit about them, what you know about them.
Well, I saw Isaiah Washington actually towards the end of the Coaches versus Cancer event. They showed up briefly. You know, he's been committed to Penn State for forever, so it's
right,
good to see him finally get here on campus. Long, athletic. He's going to be an interesting guy to watch, but I think Shep Gardner is probably the most likely to see meaningful minutes early on. You know, he was at the Mary Klein Classic this past weekend, which is a great event, a charity event, actually, where he got invited to go out there to West Orange, New Jersey. Of course, 20 points against a lot of guys that were rated, you know, whatever weight you put in ratings, rated a lot higher than he was. I think to see him go out there, score 20 against some, you know, really high-level prospects is a good sign, and he's going to be one of those guys that if he can, you know, get the mental side of the game figured out and the physical aspects of the game figured out, could be one of the first people off the bench to relieve DJ of some of that point guard duties. So I think he's obviously going to be an important part of Penn State's success this year. It's just going to be a matter of making that transition from high school to college, which is never particularly easy.
What about moving forward? The next signing period will be in November. We already know that there are some verbals. But for Penn State, I mean, the importance of this one coming up and what you know about the guys they have verbals from.
Yeah, well, obviously, any time that you're able to go out there and get some early verbals like Penn State has done, and Mike Watkins, who's really been a big project guy for them, I think it's something that they see him as maybe he's not doing the things that you want to see him do right now, but he has the potential to really explode, and I think you've seen that through some of the camps that they've worked with him through, that he's a guy that's I think he's averaging something along the lines of, you know, practically 10 blocks a game and 15 rebounds, just outrageous numbers. So anytime that you can get a guy like that early in the process, is going to be a big asset for your program. And the other guy, whose name I have yet to figure out how exactly
about
pronouncing that, is going to be an interesting three-point project if he's able to shoot his shot like he has in high school. 6'6", he's kind of like Donovan Jack in some respects with an outside-inside game. Mm-hmm. So, you know, between those two guys, getting them signed down on the dotted line is going to be big, and seeing if you can add anybody else to that class is going to be important as well.
Yeah, eventually, when I'm allowed to pronounce his name, it'll actually be more my responsibility. So,
and that's why you're on the radio, and I'm not on TV or radio, and I'm just writing it down. Spelling's easier than pronouncing.
Well, I always enjoy talking to you. You know that. Ben, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
And we'll come back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Kronzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Auto, home, life, business insurance. If service and price mean something to you, Kronzer Insurance knows it means everything to them. That's Kronzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
When it comes to insurance, let's face it, the options and the sources keep changing. It gets confusing. Do you really know what you're getting? Better yet, do you know what you're not getting? Save time and save your mind with a simple call to the Kronzer Insurance Agency of Mount Pleasant Mills or Northumberland. For 51 years, the Kronzer Insurance Agency has been keeping the Susquehanna Valley insured and protected from whatever comes our way. If your policy is up for renewal, or you suffer the disappointment of cut-rate insurance deals on the internet or over the phone, then listen. Don't sacrifice personal service. The Kronzer Insurance Agent, your independent agent, has your best interest in mind. Of course they have competitive prices.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. Call us, stop in, or visit us online at KronzerInsurance.com.
Standing together against whatever. Family, friendship, security. The Kronzer Insurance Agency.
Well, Mike Schmidt, arguably the greatest third baseman in the history of the game, when you combine both field, power, ability to run the bases, the whole thing, I don't think there was a better third baseman ever. I think if you're asking me to pick my nine, yes, I would say that Mike Schmidt is an easy call for me in my nine. I would have said Brooks Robinson before Mike Schmidt, and then Mike Schmidt came along and when he finally got himself above the Mendoza line with batting average and really became a well-rounded player, he's the best third baseman I've ever seen. He says that when you look at Jimmy Rollins, that Jimmy Rollins should at least get consideration to baseball's Hall of Fame, at least be discussed. So he didn't absolutely say he should be in. He said he should be discussed. And he's right. He should be discussed. And now we discuss it with somebody who doesn't like Jimmy Rollins.
Well, listen, I don't like Jimmy Rollins' antics, all right? I don't like the way he has a tendency to take plays off by not running it out to first base or showing a little attitude every now and then. And it seems to be a little more now than it has been before. But when you look at him from a baseball statistical standpoint, it's hard to deny consideration isn't warranted. And I think Schmitty compared him to Barry Larkin. And if you look at that comparison, Larkin didn't hit as many home runs, and that may be why Rollins' batting average isn't as high as Larkin's, because I think he does try and hit the 400-foot fly ball instead of trying to put one in the gap the way Larkin did. But when you look at statistically, they're pretty close. But next hour, I'm going to share a stat that if you're a Sabermetric fan, that is really going to surprise you. And it surprised me when I looked it up. I know, you are not a big Sabermetric fan.
Okay, here's one for you.
Okay.
Eyeball test.
Okay. You've watched Trouble with the Curve, haven't you?
Well, that's nothing to do with it. I've always felt that way. I've talked about that with the NCAA tournament. I talk about it with this. Okay? I just have to watch Derek Jeter and see when he produces to understand the guy's great. Okay? David Ortiz, I can see when he produces and what he does to tell me he's great. All right? Justin Verlander. Miguel Cabrera. I don't need a stat to tell me what he does with runners on second, temperature below 45, with cloud cover of 30%.
And a half-filled stadium, as opposed to sold out.
Okay. I mean, now, I appreciate Sabermetrics for this, that people are interested in the game to use it. That I like, that you're that interested to come up with stats. Okay? But one thing I've discovered in broadcasting is you need to be judicious with stats, and they have to have meaning when you do use them. I used to be heavy on it early in my career. Now I know I'm smarter about it.